paid in full. And so I want to look at some thoughts here from chapter number 26, and I hope pray there'll be a blessing and a help to you, and most of all, if you're here today and your account's not been stamped, paid in full yet, it can be. As we witnessed last Sunday, I appreciate God touching the hearts of those two young men last week, and I'm glad they're here in the service this morning. That's always a good sign when they come back, amen? And so I appreciate the goodness of God. Matthew chapter number 26, I'm going to pick up my reading this morning in verses 17 and read down through verse maybe 20, and then we're going to skip a few verses, and for the sake of time this morning, I may come back and deal with these other verses tonight, and then go down to verse number 26. Now, in looking here at Jesus' last days, I want us to think about Jesus and the Passover. Jesus and the Passover. Now, so far in Matthew chapter 26, we have considered his proclamation of his impending death in the first part of chapter 26. Then we begin to see the enemy's plots that, of course, they're plotting against the Lord Jesus and how they might put him to death. Then we see Mary's passion and how that she anointed the Lord Jesus, and we looked at that. Then we looked at Judas's position as the betrayer. This morning, starting in verse 17, I want to look at Jesus and the Passover and see how that applies to us today, and certainly thinking about his life and his ministry. So that being said this morning, if you found your place in the precious Word of God, say amen. I'm going to ask you to stand this morning out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God, if you're able to stand, and certainly if you're not, that's okay. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 17. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, the Master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Verse 20, now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And then in the following verses, in verses 21 through 25, we find, if you will, the questioning about the betrayal in Judas. And again, I'm not going to deal with that so much this morning, but I want you to skip down to verse 26. And as they were eating, of course, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. May the Lord add his richest blessings to the reading of the precious Word of God. Let us pray. Father, we come before your great throne of grace again today to thank you for another day on this side of eternity. Thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy. Thank you for this time that, Father, we could come together today and worship you in spirit and in truth. We thank you for the teaching of the Word of God. We thank you for the singing and, Lord, all that's been done. But, Lord, I thank you now for your precious Word. I pray now, Father, as your servant, that, Lord, you would anoint me now afresh and anew. I realize I stand in a place today where no man can stand alone. I pray you give me clarity of mind, clarity of speech, and I pray the Holy Ghost of God will walk up and down every one of these pews. And Father, I pray you'll speak to every heart here today. Father, for those that are saved, may we rejoice in the salvation that we have through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there's those here today that, Father, have never repented of their sin and received the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe through this message today, Lord, they will see that need and the importance of the hour and come this very day and call upon you for salvation. Lord, we sure do love you today. I thank you for loving us. And I pray now you'd forgive us of our sins, our shortcomings. God, we yield ourselves to you. You use us now. Help us to be obedient. And it'd be in Christ's name we do pray. And all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing out of the reverence of the reading of the precious Word of God. Again this morning, I want us to consider from these particular verses Jesus and the Passover. As we continue our study on the last days of Jesus' earthly life and ministry, I want us to consider today the importance of Jesus and the Passover and what that could mean to you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, as we said to the unsaved, may you consider your need of Christ as your Savior today. And as we come to the scene now, as we come here to this Passover, what is considered the Last Supper, and we find a wonderful scene here between the Lord Jesus Christ and His disciples. And certainly I would encourage you to go to the other Gospels and study, especially in the Gospel of John. We see that John maybe fills in some more great details about this particular event. But as I was studying and considering Jesus and the Passover, I got just a couple of things that I want to share with you this morning concerning this thought of Jesus and the Passover. Now, I realize today that we are Gentiles and we are not Jews. But we also understand today, first of all, as we look at this today, I want us to think about the reason for the Passover. See, everything that happened in the Old Testament concerning the sacrifices and all that was done was pointing to the New Testament in the time that the Lord Jesus Christ would come to this this world and be born as we have just celebrated His birth. But not only His birth, but His sinless life. And then going to the cross and being the sacrifice for the sin of the whole world, but not only the whole world, but for my sin and for your sin today. And certainly for that we ought to be very thankful. But we find now, as we come now to the end again of His earthly life and His earthly ministry, we see here the Passover. And we find that, number one, I want to think about the reason for the Passover. I got about three things that I want to share with you concerning the reason for the Passover. Number one, it was to remember God's promise of deliverance. To remember God's promise of deliverance. You will find in the celebration of that Passover, it was for a 7-day celebration. And of course, we find in that celebration, they was remembering God's promise of deliverance for the children of Israel, certainly from Egypt bondage. And so today you say, well, preacher, what would that have to do with us today considering the Passover? I'm glad that God not only made a promise to the children of Israel for a time of deliverance, but I'm thankful today, hallelujah, that God had promised to all of mankind a time of deliverance for those that would trust in Him. And so today I want us to consider something here this morning as we consider certainly the reason for the Passover, again to remember God's promise of deliverance. I'm glad in the songs that we heard this morning, starting with the congregational hymn, talking about victory in Jesus, and then all the wonderful songs that we heard the choir sing, was reminding us of a God that came, of a Savior that came, so that you and I could be delivered. Thank God this morning. You say, preacher, I don't need to be delivered from anything. Sure you do. You need to be delivered from Satan. You need to be delivered from sin. You need to be delivered from yourself. Why? Because you can't save yourself. And so I'm thankful today as we consider the scene before us and the Passover, the reason for this Passover, the celebration of it, again, was to remember God's promise of deliverance. And God's promise of deliverance, number one, from the bondage of Pharaoh. Thank God, I'm telling you, I believe that's a type of the devil. Aren't you glad today, thank God, when you'll surrender your heart and your life to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can be, hallelujah, delivered from the clutches of Satan himself this morning. Yeah, now, I know he'll still bother us. I know this morning that he still has an influence if we're not careful. But I'm glad I've been delivered, thank God, hallelujah, from the hand of that one, thank God, that determined to doom me to hell. I'm glad, thank God, I've been delivered. Thank God from him this morning. Hallelujah. That ought to make us want to rejoice. That ought to make us want to shout today. That ought to make us want to praise God. That ought to make us want to be faithful to God. That ought to make us today want to live right. That ought to make us today want to do right. Realizing there was a God that loved you and I so much that he was willing to deliver us from the clutches of the one that, thank God, was determined to doom our souls to hell. But thanks be to God. I'm glad, hallelujah, for the deliverance that God gives to those this morning that will trust him and call upon him and believe him and trust him. Hallelujah, church. Aren't you glad for the delivering hand of Almighty God this morning? You couldn't save yourself. Israel couldn't save themselves. But this Passover was to remind them and to remember God's promise of deliverance from the bondage of Pharaoh, also from the burden of slavery. They were in slavery for 400 plus years. The children of Israel were under slavery. They were under the taskmaster's whip. They had to do what somebody else said to do. But I'm glad, thank God, God had promised he would deliver them. He rose up a man by the name of Moses and sent him to Pharaoh. You know about the 10 plagues and all that was taking place. But hallelujah, I'm glad, thank God, God was greater than any Pharaoh. Hallelujah this morning. I'm glad he's greater than any obstacle in this world. I don't know what may be standing in your way this morning, my friend, but I'm glad I'm serving one that is greater than it all. Thank God, and has the power, has the strength to deliver those that will trust him today, my friend. And so as we remember here the Passover, we find that it reminds them not only to be delivered from the bondage of Pharaoh, but from the burden of slavery. And that's exactly what sin will do to an individual today. It actually puts an individual in bondage and separation from Almighty God. But here in this Passover, as they celebrate it, they are reminded of that deliverance from bondage and from that burden of slavery, and then also from the barriers of false religion. See, there in Egypt, there were all kinds of false gods that were worshipped. I mean, as you study, even going back to those plagues, a lot of those pointed to gods, false gods, that they served and believed in. But do you realize that not one of them false gods could help the children of Egypt or the folks of Egypt? Now we understand today that as Israel was still under under that bondage, but we still know that there was a God, as we said, that promised deliverance. But think about all the barriers they are to false religion. I'll be honest with you today. I'm afraid a lot of people, and even some of them sitting in our Baptist churches, are absolutely entrenched in false religion. And that creates barriers that cannot be crossed or cannot be gone through without the deliverance of God. But aren't you glad that God's big enough to deliver from the barriers of religion? There are a lot of people today that consider themselves religious. But friend, religion will not save you. Religion will not redeem you. Religion will not stamp on your account paid in full. But if you ever get to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of your sin and call upon him to deliver you and receive him, hallelujah, I'm glad, thank God, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ can do for you what religion cannot do. Religion will bind you down, but thanks be to God, deliverance of salvation will set you free. And thank God, I'm glad, thank God for that this morning in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find the reason for the Passover. The Jews celebrate to remember. A 7-day celebration of remembering that God is a God who delivers. Understand, God's not wanting to put you in bondage. He's wanting to deliver you from bondage. God's not wanting to put you under a burden. God wants to deliver you from that burden. God's not trying to set up religious barriers around you where you can't get to Him. I'm glad Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So we find in the celebration of the Passover, and there's many other things I could say about it, but I don't want to get bogged down here because we want to move on. But we find the reason for the Passover. Now, we don't celebrate the Passover. Again, we're Gentiles, we're not Jews. But if you go to the book of Exodus, God wanted that Jewish nation to always remember how God, by His mighty hand, had delivered them. I tell you, it'd do us good this morning. Y'all all right? Everybody with me? I mean, some of you still look like you got sugar plums dancing in your head. I'm talking about being delivered. Being set free by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we don't celebrate the Passover, but the Lord institutes something new during this last Passover, this Last Supper, if you will, that He has with His disciples. So we find, first of all, the reason for the Passover. Not only this morning, as we remember the Passover, do we see to remember God's promise of deliverance, but also to remember God's provision of a blood sacrifice. See, what had to happen before the, and I know many of you already know this, but there may be some that doesn't, and I'm just going to go over it real quick like. As the children of Israel were in bondage to Egypt, God sent the 10 plagues out there to Egypt. None of those plagues, those first 9 plagues, even though Pharaoh at one time or a few times he'd say, well, I'm going to let him go, and then he'd change his mind. And then God, through the prophet Moses, through the man of God Moses, pronounces death upon the firstborn of the land of Egypt. Death! Death to every firstborn of the land of Egypt. But God says, here, Moses, what I want you to do, I want you to take a lamb. A lamb for every household. I still can't get over that message Brother Chris preached here back a few months ago on the lamb. But take that lamb and you slit that lamb's throat. And you take that blood and you drain that blood. And then you take hyssop and you apply it to the doorpost. And to the lintel. And so when death begins to come to the firstborn of the land of Egypt, God said, I will pass over you. Hallelujah. Thank God. Aren't you glad this morning as they celebrate that Passover, they remember not only God, thank God, His hand of deliverance, but thank God we also see God's hand of provision in supplying a blood sacrifice so that they could escape death. Thank God when the death began to roll through the land of Egypt and the cries of death went out where the blood was applied, my friend, thank God they were safe and they were sound and they were going to be delivered and brought to a new land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and have a relationship with the true and the living God. Thank God for God's provision of a blood sacrifice. That's what they had to remember, what they were supposed to remember, was a provision of God supplying for them a sacrifice. So we see in the Passover not only a God's promise of deliverance and God's provision of a blood sacrifice, but also to remember God's protection. And thinking about God's protection, as you think about death coming through, and the cries of death, where the blood was applied, they were safe and sound. I wonder if death was to pass over you today, would you be safe and sound? The blood's been applied. Everything will be all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. I see the reason. I see Exodus chapter 12 and verse number 13. The Bible says, and the blood shall be, this is God through the man of God, Moses, speaking to the children of Israel, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And he says, and when I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, this is God speaking. This is not the preacher speaking, this is God speaking. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Thank God. That's what they were to remember. I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Egypt being a type of the world. Do you understand judgment's coming to this world one day? God will judge all the injustice. God will judge all the rebellion. God will judge all the sin. God will judge all the rejection. But when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. I'm looking to go in the rapture. If I go by death, it'll be all right. But I'm looking to go in the rapture. And the only way we can go is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's the only way you can proclaim victory today, is through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we find this morning in the Passover that, first of all, we find that the reason for the Passover, and that's deliverance. But then I want you to think about something quickly with me this morning as well. We see not only here to remember the deliverance, but then secondly today to see that Jesus fulfills his requirement as a Jew. And you say, well, preacher, what's that got to do with me? I'm glad, thank God, the one that came, the one that was born of a virgin, the one that lived a sinless and perfect life, done everything that was required of him to do. Not in one area of his life did he ever fail. You think about that. You think about how you and I fail in probably all areas of our life. But he never failed. If he had, he would not have been our Savior. He would not have been a suitable sacrifice for my sin. And he would have not been a suitable sacrifice for your sin or the sin of the whole world. So we see the reason for the Passover, but we see that Jesus fulfills his responsibility in celebrating the Passover. And not only his responsibility, but his requirement in observing the Passover. In his fulfilling of his requirement, number one, I thought about, we see his obedience. We see his obedience. He became obedient even unto death, the death of the cross, according to the book of Hebrews. He was obedient in all areas of his life. That brings me to this thought this morning. How obedient am I being? How obedient are you being? You say you're saved. You say you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you living like it? Am I living like it? Am I being obedient to the Word of God that God has given unto us as His church? Hey, God's given us a roadmap. God's given us directions, and we ought to follow those directions just as Jesus followed His. We see that Jesus fulfills His requirement. We see His obedience. Secondly, we see His leadership. We see His leadership. Jesus didn't just talk about it. Jesus done it. There's a lot of people today that talks about it. Huh? Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people that talks about it. But are we being obedient? Are we being the leaders that we ought to be? Men, are you being the leader of your home like God requires you to be? God doesn't require nothing of me, preacher. Sure He does. Read your book. Are we being obedient? Men, are you being obedient and following God and leading your family? See, Jesus led by example. Now go to John chapter number 13, and I want you to go there and look at it. We're not going to do it for the sake of time this morning, but the Apostle John fills in quite a few more details concerning this last meal and this last gathering of Jesus and His disciples together. And we find in not only His obedience, but we see His leadership. Jesus humbles Himself during this time and washes the disciples' feet. Even the one that would betray Him. The Gospel of John starts out something like this. He loved them all, and He loved them to the end. How did He show that love? By being an example, being a leader. Men, you ought to be leaders in your home. I don't know how we got off on all this, but here we go. We say we're Christians. We say we're disciples of Christ. We say we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But are we looking at the example of Christ and doing as Christ did? Thank God, being obedient to what God would have us to do, and then being the leaders that God has called us to be. How are you leading your family? How are you leading your children? If it was dependent upon you as a leader of your home to point your family, your children to the Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of life are you living before them? They looking to you. They going to do what you do. If it's not important to you, I can promise you it won't be important to them. Huh? You weren't excited about the blood part, so we'll get down here, get down to some nitty-gritty. You ought to be excited about the blood. Your children ought to see you excited about the blood. They ought to, glory to God. They ought to see you excited in the house of God. They ought to see you lift your head in the house of God. They ought to hear you say amen in the house of God. They ought to see a smile on your face. They ought to see a spring in your step. They ought to see that there's something different. Thank God. How about a true child of the living God this morning, my friend? They ought to be able to see it. They shouldn't have to guess about it. Huh? Hey, man, I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to help you. Because Jesus fulfills His responsibility. The Jew was to partake of that Passover. Preacher, how'd that get us off to where we're at now? Because He's showing us His obedience. He's showing us His leadership. How about it, Mom? I've got Dad. How about it, Mom? How about you? Are you being the godly wife, the godly mother that God requires of you? Hey, it gets us all. How about it, children? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You feel like you've got another 11 months now to throw it to the wind. Christmas is over and we'll have to worry about them gifts till next year. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Listen, this is the last Sunday of 2019. Can you believe that? Man, I can remember when Y2K, I mean, the world's going to explode. And to listen to some of them nuts in Washington, we ain't got but about 6, 7, 8 more years left anyhow. Man, they ought not to be worried about that. They ought to be worried about the one thing God they're going to have to stand before and give an account to one day. Amen. I don't care what your politics is. They're a bunch of crazy people. Praise God, I'm not listening to them. I'm looking to the one, thank God, that give us a book and give us promises and the one that delivered us and the one that's give us instruction this morning. Thank God. And we ought to be obedient and we ought to be leaders. Jesus was willing to humble himself and serve those disciples to wash their feet. And then when he gets down to the end of that thing, he talks about something. There's a verse that says something like, as happy are ye if you do it. Preacher, you ain't saying we got to wash somebody's stinky feet, are you? If that's what it took. Miss Wilma, if that's what it took, then I'd be willing to do that. If that's what it took. See, some of you are not willing to do what it takes. You put up barriers. I've done scorched some of you hides now, or God has. It's not me, it's God. You go out here and blame the preacher all you want to. I'm in the book. Jesus was fulfilling his responsibility. Are we? He was showing his obedience. Am I obedient? The Bible says something like this, does it not? Obedience is better than sacrifice. Am I being obedient? Number two, am I being the leader? Am I being the leader? Am I leading by example? What kind of example am I leading by? If my children and my grandchildren never accomplish great feats in this world, now I pray they're all successful. But if they were successful and died lost without God, then I have failed as a father, I failed as a Christian, I failed as a preacher. I failed. See, my goal is to be together one day in an eternal day. Some of you want your children to be great athletes, and there's nothing wrong with being great athletes. I like sports. But that's not the most important thing. Some of you want your children to be doctors, and there's nothing wrong with being a doctor. We need doctors. We need some good doctors. There's nothing. Some of you want your children to be a lawyer. Nothing wrong with being a lawyer, brother. Nothing wrong with that. But if that's all we ever aspire our children, our grandchildren to be, and they miss God, they've missed it all. And you as a parent, and you as a grandparent, and you as a member of Pleasant Grove Baptist Church, you have a responsibility to that. Jesus fulfilled his. Will I fulfill mine? Will you fulfill yours? Hallelujah! Preacher, it's the last Sunday of the year. Oh, it gets better. It'll get better. I'm looking for God to do even greater, greater things. Why? Because He's God. But I see in Jesus fulfilling His requirement in observing the Passover as a Jew, we see His obedience, we see His leadership, and then we see that He shares in the fellowship and worship with His disciples. See, again, in celebrating that Passover, they were reminded that everybody in the house was covered as long as they were under the blood. And even though it was in some ways a somber time of a celebration, but it was also, if you go to the book of Exodus, it was a time of worship. They worshiped. In other words, they thanked God for His deliverance. So we find in Jesus and the Passover, we see that the reason for the Passover, we see that Jesus fulfills His requirement of the Passover. And then lastly, in verses 26 through 29 that we read into your hearing this morning, we see the remembrance of our Passover lamb. If you get down to verse 26, see, now this is not the only Passover that Jesus had celebrated, by the way. But there was something different that was going to happen at this celebration that had not taken place before. We've already talked about His impending death. And the disciples, they're still not grabbing it. But Jesus takes the bread. And He takes the bread, and the Bible says that He blessed it, and that He broke it, and that He gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body." What's He teaching them? What's He teaching us? Well, see, what we have here before us is what we call communion, or the Lord's table, or the Lord's supper. It's used, it's titled different things, but it all means the same thing, that we are celebrating our Passover lamb. Thank God, once and for all, the book of Hebrews said, He became that final sacrifice. He shed the life's blood that needed to be shed. Thank God. And He's on His way to Calvary, as we've seen in the book today. And He's letting these old boys know that He's given Himself, thank God, for them, that they could be redeemed and be covered by the blood and cleansed by the blood, so that when I see the blood, I will pass over you, thank God. We see the remembrance of the Passover. And not only do we see Him tell them to take the cup or the bread, but then we find that He takes the cup. "For this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." What's that mean, preacher? That means that He shed His blood that I could be forgiven. Does that mean anything to you today? He shed His blood so that you could be forgiven. Why? Because you're a sinner just like the rest of us. See, the Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission, there is no forgiveness, there is no hope, there is no relationship, there is no heaven to gain. But because of Jesus becoming the Passover lamb, you and I can have salvation, full and free. Because He is the Lamb. John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin. It doesn't say sins, it says sin of the world. That Adamic sin nature that you and I inherited from our father Adam, Jesus, the second Adam, said, I'm going to take care of it. And if you die and perish without God, you'll do it with your sins already paid for. You just wouldn't receive the gift. Jesus and the Passover. It's the last time he would fellowship with those disciples in this manner. And he gives them the bread and he gives them the cup. Notice he says to the cup, drink all of it. He's reminding us today that Jesus gave it all to be my Passover lamb. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'm glad when God looks down at me, he doesn't see me. I'm glad he sees the blood. The remembrance of our Passover lamb. Let me read this to you. It's familiar to you, but let me read it anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Every time that we partake of the communion table, we are showing the Lord's death till he comes. And we do it in remembrance of our Passover lamb. Jesus and the Passover. Does it mean anything to you? It should. We see the reason for the Passover. To celebrate deliverance. We see Jesus fulfilling his requirement, his responsibility, in being obedient and being a leader. And then we see Jesus himself showing us and showing them that he was the Passover lamb. How do you stand with him today? We're ending, as far as I know, tonight will be the last service of this year. Wednesday night will start a new year. And maybe as you look back over this last year, you see areas in your own life. And that's the only person you need to look at. And that's the only person that you need to ask the Holy Spirit to help you look at. Look at your life. Look into the depths of your heart, as all of us should ask the Holy Spirit to do this morning. Are you being obedient? Are you being the leader? Some of your children need to go to school and be a leader. Don't be just a follower, be a leader. Folks on the workplace, you need to be a leader. At home, you need to be a leader. But then we see Jesus remind us that he is our Passover lamb and how that we ought to remember him and what he done for us when he came and bled and died and suffered so that our sins could be forgiven. And we could have stamped on our record, paid in full. How do you stand with God this morning? You look back over the last year, maybe God's give you opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get right, and you said no. Why don't you do it today? Maybe God spoke to you, you know you're not saved. You know you're not ready to meet God. If this is to be your last service, and you walk out of here lost, never have another opportunity. How sad that would be. You ought to get right with God today. Start the new year off right. Serving God. And we ought to be challenged today in our hearts as Christians, no matter how long you've been saved. We ought to determine in our hearts, God, I want to follow you. God, I want to be obedient to you. God, I want to be the leader that you've designed me and called me to be. Let's stand to our feet all over the building. Brother Scott, you come get a song of invitation. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the opportunity to stand here one more time and try to proclaim the good news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I know that we've just come through a season of celebrating your birth, and people's minds and attention has been in so many different places. But for just a moment this morning, I pray, Holy Ghost of God, would you settle in this place? And would you speak to every heart? And I pray, would you help us to be obedient? Lord, you was obedient. And everything the Father required of you, you done it. And I realize we've all failed and we've all come short. But Lord, would you help us to determine in our hearts today that with your help, we want to be obedient and we want to be the leaders, God, that you'd have us to be. Lord, we're getting ready to start a new year. And I realize that doesn't mean anything to you. You're eternal. But Lord, we're on a calendar. We're getting ready to finish this year and start a new year. Help us to start it right. Help us to submit ourselves to you, our wills and our way. And help most of all for that one that could be here today that's still under the bondage and the burden of sin and Satan, maybe even under the barriers of religion. And you want to deliver them today. I pray that you'd work in the invitation and help us to be obedient. Thank you for all that you do. And it's